Today is the 17th Sunday after Pentecost, and the readings are from Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 1 through 4 and 25 through 32, Psalm 25, verses 1 through 11, and the Gospel of Matthew chapter 21, verses 23 through 27, and today's message is titled, Our Loving and Faithful Lord. Hear the word of the Lord from the prophet Ezekiel, beginning at verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you people mean by quoting this proverb about the land of Israel? The father eats sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, you will no longer quote this proverb in Israel. For every living soul belongs to me, the father as well as the son. Both alike belong to me. The soul who sins is the one who will die. Now beginning at verse 25. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. Hear, O house of Israel, is my way unjust? Is it not your ways that are unjust? If a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits sin, he will die for it. Because of the sin he had committed, he will die. But if a wicked man turns away from the wickedness he has committed and does what is just and right, he will save his life. Because he considers all the offenses he has committed and turns away from them, he will surely live. He will not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not just. Are my ways unjust, O house of Israel? Is it not your ways that are unjust? Therefore, O house of Israel, I will judge you, each one according to his ways, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent, turn away from all your offenses. Then sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourself of all the offenses you have committed, and get a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live. Here ends the lesson from Ezekiel, Psalm chapter 25, a psalm of David. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame, but they will be put to shame who are treacherous without excuse. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. For the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, beginning at the 23rd verse. Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. By what authority are you doing these things? They asked. And who gave you this authority? Jesus replied, I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or from men? They discussed it among themselves and said, if we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say from men, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." Then he said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." The Gospel of our Lord. Again, today's sermon is our loving and faithful Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praying this fourth century prayer, let us pray. Lord, God of inconceivable power, incomprehensible glory, immeasurable mercy, unspeakable kindness, look on us in your tender love and show your rich mercy and compassion to us and those who pray with us. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 18 begins, "The word of the Lord came to me." As a prophet, when the word of the Lord comes to you, the implied charge of the Lord is to speak the word of the Lord, exactly as given to you. Whether the word be a word of blessing or a word be a word of cursing, the prophet must speak the word of the Lord. This too is the charge of preachers. The charge is to preach, to declare the word of the Lord as the word of the Lord, both the blessings of the word of the Lord and also the hard words of warning and judgment from the Lord. Ezekiel is doing the Lord's work by speaking the Lord's work, by speaking the Lord's word. Ezekiel has the hard task of declaring the Lord's word that souls that sin will die. Just as Paul declares too in Romans chapter 6 verse 23, the first half, "For the wages of sin is death." And Ezekiel is given this word from the Lord too. Ezekiel chapter 18 verses 31 through 32. "Rid yourself of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live." Likewise, the Apostle Paul, writing the word of the Lord, writes in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the second half, "But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Sin leads to death. Yet there is a way to life, eternal life. Repent and live. Turn to the gift of the Lord in Jesus Christ. Is God unjust in stating sin leads to death? Is God unjust in the reality that sin leads to death? Are God's ways unjust with such declarations in reality? Ezekiel 18, verse 25, "Yet you say the way of the Lord is not just. Hear, O house of Israel, is my way unjust? Is it not your ways that are unjust?" Just, unjust, justice, injustice, injustice. Words being tossed around by various groups of people along with the news media. What is justice? What does it mean to be ruled by the rule of law? How is being ruled by the rule of law different than being ruled by the mob? Ruled by the whims and ever-changing blowing of public opinion. We have a major crisis, a major problem in society right now, and it has to do with the definition of justice. Lately, the word justice has come to mean the outcome must be what mob rule wants. Never mind what the rule of law states in clear written language. Remember the French Revolution and how bloody it was. The revolution became so bloody because mob rule came to power. We are seeing what mob rule does in various cities. Louisville, Kentucky is the latest casualty. Do you know riot supplies were trucked into Louisville? There's video evidence of a U-Haul truck being unloaded with supplies for rioters. Video of riot gear, weapons, gas masks, and anti-police signs being unloaded. It's sin. Sin on full display. Depravity of human hearts growing more bold and more destructive. So what would an Ezekiel sound like in these moments? Do you think the people will listen and repent and live? Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 26 and 27. If a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits sin, he will die for it. Because of the sin he has committed, he will die. But if a wicked man turns away from the wickedness he has committed and does what is just and right, he will save his life. Then down to verse 30. Therefore, O house of Israel, I will judge you, each one according to his ways, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent, turn away from all your offenses, then sin will not be your downfall. God, through the prophets, through the generations and through the eons, and then through the Son, calls us to live differently. The consistent word from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden to this very day is to walk in the ways of the Lord. Walk in obedience, walk in trust, walk in faith, walk in hope. I remember learning to drive. Do you remember when you learned to drive? I remember learning to drive. My mom would take me over to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base to a section that was used very little over by the Air Force Museum. I was driving a Chevy Impala, one of the many various vehicles we had at that time. And at that time, at the Air Force Museum, it was a long time ago, there used to be a perimeter road that ran around that section of the air base. And that perimeter road was a great place to drive. You can pull up the Google Satellite Earth view. You can see the portion of that perimeter road that is still paved. And then you can also still see and exists in faint images where the road was. So my mom would take me over there to go back and forth around that perimeter road, staying in lane with no traffic to contend with. That was a great way to start. I mean, a two-lane road with a center lane stripe put in place and go one way, practice staying in the lane. It's a great way to start. Now, I'm not free to do my own thing when I'm driving on the road. I'm not free, though tempted to be, I'm not free to open up my car as fast as the car can go. I'm not free to ignore signs. Doing so would bring great danger to me or anyone riding with me and also others on the road. The double yellow line means no passing. As there are rules of the road, the Lord God put in place rules of living, rules for our benefit, rules for society. As my mom instructed me to drive safely, God instructs us. Psalm 25, verse 8. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in his ways. His ways, the Lord's ways, God's ways. His ways are so full of love and compassion for us. Always has been that way from the very beginning in the garden to this very day. God loves us. And God, we trust, is a good way to live. Psalm 25, verse 10. All the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful for those who keep the demands of his covenant. The New American Standard Bible translates the same verse, Psalm 25, verse 10, as this. All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Let's compare those two translations, the New International Version and the New American Standard Bible. Let's compare. Both say all the ways and one says all the paths. So that's pretty close, to even enough to understand. Our loving kindness, well, that's really the same thing. Faithful and truth. NIV has the word faithful, and the NASB, the New American Standard Bible, has the word truth. That's an interesting difference. Faithful and truth. Let's dig deeper. The Hebrew word there is emeth, and it's been translated in the New American Standard Bible as faith, faithful, faithfully, faithfulness, lasting, right, true, nor truly, truth. That you may correctly, truthful. The definition is firmness and truthfulness and faith, and most often translated as truth. The word emeth is related to the word aman, And I want you to follow this chain because it's fascinating. Ammon. And then, which is related to another word, sounds like Ammon, which is related to Yaman, which is related to Yamin, which means right hand. So we come finally to that word Yamin, which means right hand. The chain helps us understand the meaning of Ammath, starting with Yamin, which is right hand. Yamin, right hand. Yaman, to go to the right or choose the right. Ammon, to turn to the right, to take the right-hand road. Figuratively, it means to be firm or faithful, to trust or believe, to be permanent or quiet, morally to be true or certain. Turning now to a Jewish understanding of right hand, right side. The Jewish understanding has this term also as a political term. To be at the right hand is to be on the acceptable side. More specifically, to be on the acceptable side of God. So emeth, truth, faithfulness, it really means to be on the side of God, the acceptable side of God. Remember the patriarch Israel, when he was blessing Joseph's two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Joseph placed the oldest son, Manasseh, in front of Israel's right hand, and the youngest son, Ephraim, before Israel's left hand. Do you remember what Israel did in the blessing? Israel crossed his hands. Joseph saw this and tried to place Israel's right hand on the older son, Manasseh. But Israel refused. Israel elevated Ephraim over Manasseh, the younger over the older, by placing the right hand on Ephraim. And then, when that day of judgment comes, what side will the sheep and what side will the goats be placed on? Matthew chapter 25, Jesus speaks of sheep and goats, verses 31 through 34. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom of heaven prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Jumping down to Matthew 25, verse 41. Then he will also say to those on the left, "Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels." Being on the right side, being at the right hand, is to be on the side of truth, faithfulness, steadfastness. Being on the right side is being on God's side. The ways of the Lord are good and true, are faithful and worth following. David begins his psalm, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God." David is acknowledging God as God, and the only one to lift up the soul to and to place the trust in. And as such, David pleads to be taught by the Lord God. David wants to be on the side of God. And that's why God says David was a man after my own heart. Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5, David pleads to be taught. "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth. And teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." Show me, teach me, guide me. David pleads these things. Why does he plead these things? He gives you the reason. "For you are God my Savior. My hope is in you." As David does, we ought to do too. Show us, teach us, guide us in your ways, your paths, your truths. The reason to do so is that God is our Savior and our hope. This is much more than head knowledge of the things of God. This is incorporating the things of God into daily life. Doing the things of God, not the things what our hearts desire or our plans desire to do. For as Ezekiel has shown us, we are very capable of sin. And as the destruction in various cities by riots demonstrates the ways of the evil one, we all need to plead as David pleads in Psalm 25, verses 6 and 7. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. Lord God, remember your goodness, your mercy, your love. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. What are the ages of most of the rioters? Wouldn't they fall into the category of youth and rebellious ways? Compare them to those who gathered in Washington, D.C. yesterday, that is September 26th, for the prayer walk organized by Franklin Graham. No speeches, no signs, just gathering for prayer. Seven stops along the prayer walk with intentional prayer focus at each station, from humbling repentance and healing our land to praying for the military, police, law enforcement, and their families, praying for the healing of our land and reconciliation, praying for religious freedom, churches, pastors, and the branches of government. On display before our eyes to see the ways of God are vastly different than the ways of the world. Matthew chapter 21 opens with Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, making a clear statement, he is the king, by the way he rides in on a colt, in fulfillment of Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Jesus then enters the temple area, driving out the money changers and all who were buying and selling there. These actions did not escape the notice of the chief priests, elders, and Pharisees. So a couple days later, on another occasion, as Jesus entered the temple courts, the chief priests and elders questioned Jesus about his authority to do as he's been doing. But they really did not care about the answer. Their hearts were far from Jesus, as the two parables Jesus then tells demonstrates. And at the conclusion of Matthew chapter 21, we find the chief priests and the Pharisees looking for ways to arrest Jesus. Instead of repenting and believing as the tax collectors and prostitutes had done, they plot to arrest Jesus. Several times in Psalm 25, David refers to God being good. Now here in Jerusalem, we see God in all his goodness. For redeeming salvation is coming on the cross. There on the cross, what would be in Hebrew words described as hesed, is in action. The Hebrew word hesed means mercy, compassion, love, grace, faithfulness, and much more. For hesed is not simply an emotion or feeling, there is action involved. Action on behalf of someone in need. Hesed is an essential part of God's character, showing God's heart disposition towards us. So much love that God acts to make forgiveness of sin a reality through the Son's death on the cross. Christ's finished work on the cross fully pays the redeeming price. Salvation in Jesus is rooted in this hesed. Bringing all of this together now from Ezekiel 18, Matthew chapter 21, and Psalm 25, we see the goodness and faithfulness of God. The reality of sin bringing death, along with the reality of forgiveness of sin by repenting and walking in the ways, the right ways, being on the side of walking with God. Human history has shown that we are incapable of changing our hearts by our own strength. Contrast again the riots ongoing in various cities with the prayer walk that took place in Washington, D.C. Which would you rather see fill the streets of this nation? The difference is our loving and faithful God. Hearts redeemed by grace, seeking to walk in the right paths. The answer to what is happening is Christ, and Christ alone. Loving Jesus, and in turn, loving our neighbor. Instead of kicking faith out of the public square, the answer to all of this brokenness is bringing Christ back into the public square. Christ back into the ordinary daily conversations of life. Christ into everything we say and do. Christ and His mercy and grace that we received, we show to others so they can experience the forgiving grace of the living God and have a heart transformed by only what the power of God can do. Take a sinner heading to death and make that person righteous with eternal life, because sin was placed on Christ and the righteousness of Christ is now placed on us. That's the power of the redeeming work of the cross. And that is the answer to our situation in life right now. Christ and Christ alone. Left to our own abilities, we will bring destruction. But left to the power of Almighty God working in and through us, we will see hearts transformed and lives changed. We pray to see more prayer walks in cities than the other things that have been taking place. The Lord is God. The Lord is good. And all His ways are good. And He gave them to us because our God is our loving and faithful Lord. Amen and amen.